you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan, and joining us right now to talk about cancer, in fact, a couple of types of cancer, is renowned radiology professor Dr. Cecilia Brewington. She, of course, is a former resident of Dallas. I'm grinning because I'm so proud to have you on. But you're now down in New Orleans, and your reputation speaks for itself. In fact, you have done so many things over the years. I can't say it enough. I'm just so glad to have you with us. One of the things I want people to know about you is that you were the professor and vice chairman of the Department of Radiology at UT Southwestern Medical Center for years and years and years until last summer. And then you moved up to be the system and academic chair of radiology in New Orleans at Ochsner Health. By the way, thank you for being with us this morning.
Well, it's great to be here. I'm happy to be here to talk about this very important message that we're going to cover.
Yes, the important message is about colon cancer. Colon cancer is now the leading cancer killer in men under the age of 50 and the second leading cause of cancer death for women under the age of 50. And ironically and sadly, over 53,000 Americans die from colorectal cancer each year. Can you talk about how you personally got involved in this particular science of medicine?
I had the advantage of getting involved with colorectal cancer screening back when I was a young professor at the UT Southwestern. I got involved in some research around a new way that radiologists could participate in colorectal cancer screening. And it is called CT colonography, as opposed to colonoscopy. So as a radiologist, you know, we frequently do things that are less invasive than our counterparts in other areas of medicine. And this test was a new way back in the early 90s on screening the colon without actually having to put a scope into the rectum. So it started out as research, which, you know, UT Southwestern is renowned for groundbreaking research. And then after we proved the concept, meaning that we knew the test was good, it was offered to our patients and it was offered nationwide. So we started offering CT colonography across the nation, but very few people knew about it. And it's only now, in January of 2025, that CMS has decided to also allow for national coverage for screening of Medicare patients using this newer, or rather, less well-known technique called CT colonography.
I think that's so important, and I think it's huge because for a lot of men in particular, women are really good about taking care of their health. Men are reluctant to go to the doctor if they have a cough. So let alone men are reluctant to do the traditional test to see if you might have colon cancer or prostate cancer. And they were reluctant on those ends. So this new way of checking is huge. And I think it's just a matter of getting the word out. Am I wrong?
You are absolutely right. I can tell you that, you know, I've spoken on this topic many, many times, including most recently to a group that was or advocating for AARP to get more information out to Medicare patients. Because, of course, we have to face the facts. As we get older, the likelihood that we might have something that we need to see a physician for, it increases. And with colon cancer, our risk increase as we get older. The age, by the way, was 50 where we started screening for colon cancer, but that has been dropped now to age 45. That's something else that very few people are aware of. So you should start screening for colorectal cancer at age 45. The important thing to remember, and I think even more so for our listeners, is that medicine is improving every day, every day. And for colon cancer, if we screen for it, 90% of the time, 90% of the time, colorectal cancer can be prevented. And it can be prevented because we screen and we know what the precursor is for colon cancer. It's a small polyp. And if we find that polyp and remove it, then it never has the opportunity to develop into a big cancer.
I'm glad you
said
that.
And we can go on with our lives.
I am so glad you said that, because I think a lot of the fear for men in particular is they don't want the doctor to find anything, because they think, uh-oh, if they find it, that means you're going to tell me I'm going to die. And that's not necessarily the case. Again, if you catch it early, it can be removed.
That's right, Chris. I'm glad you brought that up, because I think if we really look at the statistics, we're just going to be frank here. There is a disparity that exists between those of the population that are dying from cancer. And that disparity happens to be for minorities.
Yes.
Minorities tend to die more often from these cancers. And it's been directly related to the fact that less minorities undergo screening. That's right. Less minorities undergo colorectal cancer screening. And if we screen, once again, 90% of the time, if we find something, you can prevent it turning into a big cancer, and you will go on to live your life and survive that. And so we can't let fear keep us away from doing the screen.
Exactly. It's like, why would you not save your own life, or why would you not save the life of someone in your family that you care about by just simply having a screening? And as you mentioned, you know, at first, there's a different way. There's not the same old, you know, exam where you go to the doctor and he, you know, use a digit. It's like you, there's different ways now. There's different ways to find out the information we need to make you healthy again or save your life. Again, can you talk about, is there any kind of a campaign? Because I think sometimes people just need to be aware, and sometimes it takes a campaign. Maybe the American College of Radiology has some public service announcements or things like that.
That's exactly right. So this week we're starting our push out of information across the nation to inform people about CT colonography, the newer test that's on the market now for all comers. Medicare, managed care, or private payers will pay for this test. And so we're pushing that information out this week from the American College of Radiology, but also our advocates in healthcare for colon cancer prevention. They are also pushing this message out. There'll be another push in the month of March, which is Colorectal Cancer Prevention Month. But I want to talk about why this test is different and why we shouldn't be, again, we shouldn't be afraid to go get screened anyway. But we have to realize that because of some of our cultural fears that exist, sometimes we're a little reluctant to go in and get a test for something that we don't know we have.
Right.
And especially if we feel fine.
Right.
But the reason we screening is meant for people who don't have any symptoms. That's when we screen. So we're reluctant to do it. We live busy lives. We're on our phones. We got to go to that Mavs game.
Right.
I'm still a Mavericks fan, although I'm in New Orleans. I'm a Mavericks fan.
Okay. We're going to forget about that loss. We're going to forget that. Go right ahead, though. Yeah.
But, you know, we have busy lives, but we can't let those busy lives prevent us from having a long life, a long, healthy life.
Exactly. Okay, can I say this, Dr. Brewington? Because I think you're making some really great examples. And I was thinking of a picture to paint for people. It's like, it's like if you have a car or an automobile, some kind of vehicle, and your oil light comes on. You need to just check your oil. Even if the oil light does not come on, you need to check your oil, because your car is not going to let you know until it's too late. So you got to just, It's called maintenance. You just got to take care of yourself and be proactive. I'm just trying to make, am I saying this the right way?
I love your analogy, Chris, of car maintenance, because so many of us can really relate to that. We get it done, and men relate to that because we know men tend to take care of their cars.
The cars and the rims on the cars.
There you go. So we need to take care of our bodies just as well. There is maintenance to be done, and we do that in the form of screening. So we got to take out that valuable time and get these things done. And time is the big difference with this test that I'm talking about. So CT colonography, the reason there's CT in the word is because that's exactly what it is. It's a CT scan. Some people refer to this as a CAT scan. So let me tell you about this test. When you do this test for colorectal cancer screening, now you do have to drink a substance that's going to help clean out your bowels.
Mm-hmm.
That's just unavoidable. But think of it in this way. We're going to clean it out so that we can see anything that might be that small little polyp that was a precursor for cancer.
I just thought of something. I just thought of something, Dr. Bruce. Let's just call it a cleanse. I think people will be more acceptable. Let me take a sip of this because that's going to cleanse.
That's right. It's going to cleanse. And so we know several of us now do different things for cleansing.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a cleanse prior to the test. But after you do that cleanse, you can go into a radiology department that day. Notice that I didn't say you had to have a driver because we're not going to put you to sleep. So you don't have to have a driver.
Good.
You can go in for the test. You put on a gown. You lay on the table for the CAT scan. We do insert a small tube. It's probably about the size of my fifth finger, my pinky.
Mm-hmm.
It's no bigger than that. A small tube into the rectum. And we insufflate or put a little bit of air into the colon through that tube. And that, again, is just so we distend it enough so that we can see. This doesn't take long. This is just a few minutes. And then you're lying on the table. We start the CAT scan. We scan you laying on your back. And then we have you turn over and we scan you again laying on your stomach. And all of this takes about 20 minutes. You get up off the table, you go to the dressing room, you get dressed, and you go back to your activities of daily living, whether that be work, whether that be play,
mm-hmm.
or Mavericks game.
So
you go back to doing whatever you were doing before because you have not been put to sleep. You've not been given any medication that does not allow you to drive. So you can do all of this on your own. You do not need a driver. You do not need an escort home, and you can return back to work or your activities of daily living.
So
20 minutes.
I love that. So how long does it usually take to find out the results?
So the results will come once the radiologist reads the study. So this was a CAT scan.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that we use the machine to take digital images of your body, and we can see inside the colon. Some people call the CT colonography a virtual colonoscopy, and that's because we recreate through imagery the inside view of your colon, as opposed to having done it with a real scope that's passed through your colon with colonoscopy. So those images get created. It will be delivered through a picture archival system that the radiologist uses to look at all the images. They review those images and they dictate a report. In most cases, because again, this is not urgent, it's going to be 24 to 48 hours and you will have your report.
Sure.
If you're in a system that has a portal, you'll get that report delivered to you through that portal. If not, then you'll get that report delivered to you by a mailing. It depends on what the system, the health system that you have this test performed at, is doing to send out patient reports.
Dr. Bruning,
but the turnaround is very quick.
Nice. And Dr. Bruning, you know, a lot of people are wondering about if there's any other way as well, because I had heard there might be some virtual colonoscopy and maybe private insurance or Medicare has to cover it? So in other words, you can get this done under your coverage? Is that?
Yes, you can. So with the Affordable Care Act, the Affordable Care Act has already set up that if you have a test that you need to undergo that's been rated a B or above by the United States Preventive Services Task Force, that's a lot of words.
Mm-hmm.
All it really means is that this test is covered. This test is covered for those of us who have private insurance, and it is also, as of January 1, 2025, covered for all Medicare patients if you participate in the Medicare system. And what that means is that there should be no out-of-pocket expense that you need to pay to get this test done if you are insured. If you are insured.
That is fantastic. And again, we're talking with, if you're just joining us, we're talking to the great, I'm going to say great because you are,
Chris,
the great Dr. Brewington, who formerly was up here at UT Southwestern Medical Center in Dallas. She's now down in New Orleans, where she's the system and academic chair of radiology. You're also, let me give you your props, you're also on the American College of Radiology Colon Cancer Committee, and that led the petition for the CMS to be now approved with a national coverage determination to cover the CT colonography for colon cancer screening in Medicare patients as of January 1st. So congratulations on getting that accomplished. But I also want to congratulate you on your accomplishments and your, I'm going to call it a storied career. Not that you're old, but storied career, because you've done so many things over the last few years, especially up here in Dallas at UT Southwestern, which is very, people just love UT Southwestern. It's one of the best, you know, in the business as far as medical services and hospitals. With that being said, I have to give you your props because you established that lung cancer screening program. How big was that for you in your career?
So for me, Chris, that was huge. It's huge because I'll tell you, that gets back to the reason that I went into medicine, as did many other physicians. I still believe that most physicians, if not all, went into medicine because they wanted to help patients. They wanted to help patients.
Mm-hmm.
And for radiologists, we do a lot that's frequently not seen by patients. But with lung cancer screening and colorectal cancer screening and breast cancer screening,
mm-hmm.
We are really patient facing, meaning that we see the patient a lot more and they are aware that we're there to help them. With lung cancer screening, colorectal cancer screening, breast cancer screening, and dare I say also prostate cancer screening,
mm-hmm.
We have an opportunity to save lives. What better way, better thing to do as a physician? We want to help, and this is a great way to help, to be able to have people go on to live their lives with their families, their children. You know, that's what it's all about, is trying to help people have a healthier life. And so I'm very grateful for this segment that you're doing on living healthier lives. Screening for cancer is something that we want people to not be afraid of. I hope that this, in a small part, has helped your audience to get to that colorectal cancer screening. Again, age 45 is where you should start. But by all means, if you're having symptoms, please go see your doctor. We are getting better every day in the practice of medicine. There are so many things that we can offer to make the rest of your life a healthy one if you just go in to see your healthcare provider.
Dr. Brewington, you are just fantastic. Before I let you get out of here, because you're the first guest on a show where we're talking about cancer, prostate cancer, colon cancer. And our next guests have a big event for Black History Month here in Dallas and South Dallas. And before we get to them, I wanted you to tell our listeners the difference between prostate cancer and colon cancer, because both of them are just as important as breast cancer awareness, as you mentioned, any kind of cancer. But I only bring up breast cancer awareness because everybody knows every October people are wearing pink, or they're going for walks, or the athletes are wearing pink shoes, and it's all in recognition of someone who was a survivor who had lost their lives to breast cancer. So I just wanted to have you, because you really break things down so well, to talk about the difference between prostate cancer and colon cancer, and how we're going to make sure these issues get their awareness as well.
So prostate cancer, of course, only occurs in men who have a prostate gland, as opposed to colon cancer, which is of the GI tract. So the prostate gland, you know, that's something that men have. You get rectal exams, the digital exam. It's on, you know, it's not something that men are lining up to do. But again, by getting evaluated for it, you can do something about it if you do have
Yes.
prostate cancer. My
Yes.
own father had prostate cancer. He's alive to tell the tale because he got his treatment.
That is fantastic. And I'm so glad you are joining us to tell us that story. And Dr. Brewington, again, we're going to have you on real again real soon. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's been my pleasure, Chris. Thank you for what you're doing.
We've got a big event coming up in South Dallas. In honor of Black History Month, we're trying to save some lives. And we've been talking about different types of cancer awareness on the show. And joining us right now with this conversation are the architects of the big event, bringing awareness to the rise in prostate cancer in Black men. We're going to talk to Reverend Todd Atkins, documentary filmmaker Londi Maduro, and cancer survivor Dale Long about Black men's health. A day of love and life, and making sure everybody and their families are aware that this big event, we hope to have over 300 men show up to help save their lives in a variety of ways, but more importantly, prostate cancer. Reverend Atkins, thank you again for being here with us. And can you start off the conversation of what made this event even happen? This is going to be a February 1st at the church.
Yes. What made this happen is we have seen nationally as well as locally our leaders, particularly our pastors, our community leaders, our fathers who are continuing to be diagnosed with this illness, with this cancer, prostate cancer.
Mm-hmm.
We see it in our national evangelists. We see this when they suffer attacks in the midst of service. And we realize that we continue to pour out and we continue to be providers for our families, that we are not exempt from cancers. And prostate cancer affects so many of our men. And it was out of just this awareness of how many of us, how people in my church, I had three individuals within the same year who was diagnosed with prostate cancer. And just when it comes to your face over and over again, it was time for us to do something. We always talk about, as a minister, talking about your soul, talking about prosperity, talking about how God wants you to live an abundant life. God also wants you to be healthy.
Yeah.
And this was just a glaring event that focused us to really that we have to do something, and we have to do something big.
Again, the big event is February 1st, the South Dallas Fair Park Faith Coalition in partnership with UT Southwestern, kicking off Black History Month with Brother to Brother Black Men's Health, A Day of Love and Life. This is again on Saturday, February 1st at Light of the World Church at 7408 Southampton Road. And it is a groundbreaking event. And I think it's important because the way I've looked at it and when I've talked to different doctors and people in the medical world about prostate cancer, it needs to have the same spotlight on it that breast cancer awareness has in the month of October. In October, everybody sees, you know, people walk in wearing pink, or athletes, their shoes are pink. And it's all in recognition of the breast cancer survivors or people that they lost in their family or their friends. And it's all about breast cancer awareness. And this is not to take anything away from the importance of breast cancer awareness, but I think prostate cancer awareness needs that same significance or the same campaign, so to speak. And that's why I'm glad we're also here in this conversation with a lauded filmmaker, documentary filmmaker, Londi Maduro. And Londi, can you talk about this documentary that you just completed and how it's important and how you got involved with this fight against prostate cancer?
Sure. Yes. Yeah. So this documentary, we are following four men at different stages of prostate cancer, and we're basically telling their stories and also showing why it's important to get tested. We interviewed scientists. We interviewed three pastors in the Texas area, actually, in Houston, Texas area, mm-hmm. and just making sure that we're touching on every single reason or excuse we were hearing from men as to why they didn't want to get tested. We wanted to debunk all of the stigma behind it so that people understood that early detection is key and it could save your life. For me, I got involved because a friend of mine who's also a filmmaker came to me and knew that he was high risk. His father and brother both had prostate cancer. And he just felt like he was at risk, but nobody was talking about it, you know? And so he was just like, maybe we should just interview some guys or have some barbershop discussions mm-hmm. and go from there. But I felt like, you know, really connecting with men who were dealing with it would be more impactful. So we started doing that research and looking for men who were interested in being interviewed. And about 6 months into that research, my father was diagnosed with stage one prostate cancer.
Oh, my goodness.
And so then it became real. But it also, you know, I was happy that I had all the information I'd gotten through my research because he could take it to his doctor now and ask educated question. And man, the power in that, that most people don't even realize, like when you're armed with knowledge and mm-hmm. you can speak to your doctor from an educated place, it allows you to advocate for yourself, which we must do whenever we're dealing with anything, but specifically cancer. So I was very grateful that I was able to do that. And it was ended up being a blessing to my father. And he is actually in the movie also. He agreed to be in the film. So we just want to shed a light on a lot of things that men face when dealing with prostate cancer and let them know they're not alone and that early detection is key.
Can you tell us how you were able to put together The Silent Killer? Because, you know, these movies can't make themselves. Sometimes you have to have some funding, has to have your time, your talent, let alone the different people that you talk to. So did you have a difficult time finding some resources to help fund it?
Oh, Lord, yes.
I was about to say, just keep it real. Because it's hard when you're the first one to come up with the idea or you're coming up with a documentary that a lot of people are not aware of the issue as well as like a breast cancer awareness thing.
Right. So it actually took us 6 years. So the movie actually came out in 2017. Mm-hmm. It took us 6 years to make it. So we started in 2012. And yes, it was rough. One, I did not realize how unsexy a subject prostate cancer was.
Oh, yeah.
So people didn't want to talk about it. They didn't want to acknowledge it. They didn't want to deal with it. I do feel like that has changed some now. But when we were working on it, you know, even trying to get it into film festivals, people just didn't want to deal with it or talk about it. And so it made it very, very difficult. And why it took us 6 years is we funded it ourselves. We did some crowdfunding, couldn't get a lot of support. And so then we just funded it ourselves. But it took us some time. And to be honest, I'm glad that it took us a while because we were truly able to follow the stories of these men and their progression mm-hmm. With prostate cancer. So that was beneficial. But it has definitely been a journey to get it out there. Now the feature length movie is on Tubi and it's on Amazon Prime, but we are excited about bringing the shorter version to things like this event because it's the best way to get that information out there. Like movies can change lives.
Yes.
I know we have seen the film save someone's life. Like we had a gentleman come to a screening and he told us he wanted to give up on life because he had stage four prostate cancer. And he watched our film and we got him some support and he said, "Thank you, because I thought I was by myself.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know anybody." And you think in this day and age of internet and all these things that that's not, you know, that seems crazy, but it's not, because when you're dealing with a diagnosis like cancer, it can feel very isolating if you mm-hmm. don't have a support system. It doesn't matter that you can Google, you know, go online and Google things. You need to know that you can get support and that you're not by yourself. And so I've just felt so blessed to be able to help this gentleman, get him the support he needed so that he knew he wasn't alone. And that's why we continue to do these events, because I don't want anyone to feel like there's no hope or that they're standing by themselves when they're dealing with something like prostate cancer.
Londa, you mentioned your dad earlier. Could you tell us what happened with your dad?
Yeah. So my dad was caught very early, thank goodness.
Nice.
And so he chose active surveillance. And it's crazy because, like I said, we started in 2012. So my dad was diagnosed in 2012 with stage one prostate cancer, and he's been under active surveillance all these years. Well, having prostate cancer actually saved his life because in 2019, he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and it was only found because they were monitoring his prostate and they did an
My goodness.
MRI because his PSA levels were elevated and they found a tumor on his pancreas. And so at that time, they gave him 6 months to live. But I always joke and say, they don't know who his daughter is.
They don't know about you.
So I got him away from the doom and gloom doctors. We got him in to MD Anderson Cancer Center. We got him off of chemo, got him on immunotherapy. And I'm happy to say that almost 4 years later, my dad is still here.
That's
So,
awesome.
but it was that having active surveillance and having early prostate cancer and getting that MRI that let us know about, that he had another issue. And so now he still has a prostate cancer, but now we're looking at, if it continues to progress, possibly doing surgery or some other type of treatment.
Well, I'm so glad he's in good hands, and I'm glad he's got a determined daughter that never gives up. That's the number one thing. Yeah, and before we get to your story, Dale, I got to talk to Reverend Atkins again, because we as men, and you've heard that phrase, you've probably said it a million times at church, we as men are reluctant to go to the doctor. Women take care of themselves. If they feel like they have a headache, they are going to the doctor. They're going to see somebody about it. Guys, we always trying to be strong. We're always trying to say, well, I got this. I am not sick, or I'll be over it, or this is nothing. I'll put some dirt on it. Whatever it is, can you talk about how that's been one of the biggest barriers? It's not just the testing, it's the fact that I think a lot of guys, we don't think there's anything wrong with us if we're not hurting. And we also think there's nothing wrong with us, or we might not want to be tested because we don't want them to find out something is wrong, and oh no, we might have to die.
Right. I think that's one of the big that's the biggest mountain we have to really conquer is this stigma in our community. One, that I don't go to the doctor, period, unless I'm either it's something catastrophic or I'm dragged there, mostly by my wife or my daughter or someone who loves me. And we have to break that. We really do, because that's why one of the things we're saying, it's the silent killer. Because if you don't go, if you don't test that PSA, then this thing can be growing within you. It can be affecting you, and you don't even know it. Because, as you say, I was an athlete. You just put some dirt on it, you just keep going. We as men, we got to realize John Deere tractors break down just like everything else.
Exactly. You know what, you say that, but let's go ahead and say what I was saying to our guest earlier with Dr. Brewington. I was saying, maybe if guys treat their own bodies like they treat their cars and their trucks, because guys know if the oil light come on, you need to go get that oil change. You need to go check and make sure that everything's right. Or it don't have to be nothing's going wrong bad with the car before you find. Guys will take care of their cars, and you got to take care of your bodies the same way. You just got to be proactive, right?
We have to be proactive. And that car illustration is great, because how many of us don't? And how long did you leave the check engine light on and you didn't tell me?
Thank
I
you.
could have taken it to the mechanic
Thank
and
you.
got it. We got to do the same thing. We have to take care of us, because here it is. If you truly love your family, and if you truly want to provide for your family, you got to make sure that you're healthy to continue to do so. And it's fear going to the doctor, but let me tell you, early detection is key. It's not gloom and doom every time you go to the doc. Sometimes you take your car and they say, nothing's wrong. It's about me. And so we got to get out of that fear of taking care of ourselves. But that's the greatest challenge we have, is because we don't want to know what's going on. We don't want the doctor to tell us it's something catastrophic, and God forbid it be cancer. And we sure don't want to hear that, because we say, oh, now I'm out of here. No. It's so many people who have conquered this, but we as men have to take care of ourselves. And often the marketing is geared towards our sisters with Susan B. Coleman and breast cancer, mm-hmm. all of these awareness. We got to put the highlight on our own selves and take our own initiative to care for this body that God has given us.
It's basically men's health. And this big event on February 1st is Black Men's Health, a day of love and life. And you mentioned the women and the ladies. Well, yes. We got something for the ladies as well. We want you to be there with your brother, your father, your husband, your boyfriend, whoever your significant other is, because it's all about everybody. And I think you said it best when you guys say it's the faith community, fraternities, community organizers, family, friends, encouraging Black men to register, come on out and learn how all the different lives can be saved. And speaking of a life saved, Dale, that was the buildup for you. I want you to share your story. Dale Long, you're a prostate cancer survivor. Tell us how you found out you had prostate cancer and what happened, how old you were, and we're so glad you're with us today. Go ahead, Dale.
Well, thank you for having me. Actually, I am surviving. It's probably the right way to say it. I made it a practice to make sure I got a physical from my primary care doctor every year. Mm-hmm. And he would check my PSA. And we noticed that it kept getting more and more and more and more. And he finally referred me to a urologist. And I came under the protection of this urologist. And it got to the point where he did an MRI and then eventually several biopsies. And in the last one they did, they determined that I have prostate cancer. Now, I am undergoing what they call active surveillance again. We heard about that a little bit earlier. What that means is I go to my urologist and get a blood draw and a PSI test every 6 months. So I'm due to see him in the next few months. And the key to that is don't ever put off your appointments. It's extremely important. You don't have time to wait or put it off or go on a trip or I'll do it next week, or I don't feel like doing it today. It's very important to meet your appointments, do it when the doctor says, and then you take an active interest in your own well-being by making sure that you take those, get that blood draw, get that PSA exam, so that we can keep up with what is going on in my own body, and then visit with the urologist to determine what the next step is.
And how old were you when you found out that you had prostate cancer?
Well, I'm 72. I just found out about
it. You don't look 72. Looking good, Dale.
Well, thank you, because I hit the gym every day.
Just there you go.
Also. But yeah, I'm 72. I'm retired from the city of Dallas. Mm-hmm. And again, I just made it my business to keep up with my own health. And I encourage everybody listening to this to do the same thing, because it's so important, as been mentioned over and over again earlier in this program.
Yeah, Black men are disproportionately at risk, more so than other men, for developing and dying from prostate cancer, and therefore making awareness, education, and action is very critical. That's why this event is so huge. February 1st, and February 1st at the Light of World Church, Southampton Road, 7408 Southampton Road, February 1st. And again, inviting all women, women who love their Black men, mothers, sisters, daughters, wives, friends, anyone who plays a vital role in supporting the health and well-being of their men. Attendees will learn how to encourage the men in their lives to prioritize their health, attend regular screenings, and seek care when needed. Now, I also understand that you've kind of set up a man cave room. It's going to be a man cave experience, and that's where the guys that show up can have conversations, candid conversations, with prostate cancer survivors and like Dale, who are going through things, and the medical experts will be there, and also just people who just want to make sure they have the best health that they possibly can have. Then I also heard there's going to be a girl cave experience where the women who love the men, they're going to have a separate engaging experience designed to offer ways to support, encourage their loved ones to engage in regular life-saving screenings, and additionally addressing concerns about navigating this often inequitable healthcare system. The healthcare screenings will be there. Free prostate cancer screening for men to encourage early detection and prevention. Again, the thing that's so wild about prostate cancer and even colon cancer, and colon cancer can affect women as well, is early detection is the key. See, sometimes guys, they feel like if the test shows that I've got it, oh, Lord, I'm going to die. No, that means you have a great opportunity to live, that they can catch it early and take care of it, and then you're on your way. And like I said, you could be 72 years old doing push-ups and sit-ups and pumping iron like Dale. I mean, it's just that simple. Reverend Atkins, please tell us some more about how this event came to pass. Because again, just like Londie was saying, her documentary, it didn't happen by itself. It took years to put together. When they approached you, I'm assuming different people asked you, can we do this? Or was there somebody in your life? You know, I don't know if the South Dallas Fair Park Faith Coalition came to you, or Brother to Brother came to you, or I'm just trying to figure out how it all came together, because it's so worthwhile.
Yes, the South Dallas Fair Park Faith Coalition is a coalition that's been around for several years now, almost 10 years. Mm-hmm. And we believe not in reinventing the wheel, but to find where the gaps is in our community and try to find a partner that can be vetted, that has the passion to fill it. And one of the pillars of our organization is health. And we often talk about the health disparities in terms of accessing. And so we have UT Southwestern as one of our partners, along with the other major hospital systems in Dallas. Mm-hmm. And we began to talk about prostate cancer. We began to talk about access to health and the disparities. And we told UT Southwestern, hey, if you're serious about this, let's create a partnership and let's create a big event that's going to focus on the men in our community. And guess what? It came together. The coalition with the political leaders, we partnered with UT Southwestern, who had been putting the resources behind it. Mm-hmm. We partnered with other prostate cancer awareness organizations who are going to put funding behind this as well. And that's how it came together. The Prostate Coalition, UT Southwestern churches, nonprofits, fraternities came together because, again, this was a very organic event.
Yeah.
The South Dallas Fair Park Faith Coalition said, we'll get on the ground. We'll have the conversations. We'll get into the churches. We'll get the videos published. We work with our fantastic film documentary, putting those clips out of there. I believe when work is done on the ground, we can really do great work. Because we have to reach those people who are often overlooked, those people who don't go to the doctor. We mm-hmm. say, if you got men in your family, you know, don't go to the doctor. Those are the ones we want. But here's the other flip side, Chris, is that once they come and they receive their screening, if they are detected to have elevated PSI, we say, hey, we're going to do this. We're going to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
UT Southwestern, as well as our advocates, have agreed to walk with them from their screening to making sure they have a urologist, to make sure they have the doctor, make sure if there's a gap in service or they're underfunded, don't have the insurance, we're not going to leave any man behind. If we find it during this event, we're going to make sure you get the treatment and the needed resources to provide. And we're grateful that the South Dallas Fair Park Faith Coalition is committed to that, as well as our partner, UT Southwestern.
I love it. Again, this is something that needs to be done and the awareness needs to be out there. I also like the quote unquote campaign. I've seen some of the artwork. I've seen some of the things on social media. Can you talk about how big it was, Reverend Atkins? Or actually, Lonnie, could you talk about, because I'm sure you had your fingertips on these as well, how big it is to reach people where they are, which is a lot of people on social media. They're it's at their fingertips. It's on their phone or they're watching television or they hear about it at church. Can you talk about the ad campaign itself a little bit and about how you're actually reaching people where they are?
Lonnie? Yes, it's super important to reach people where they are, because that way they know that, you know, anything is possible and they get to find out how they can get the support they need in their own, you know, area. Right. Even if mm-hmm. they can't come to South Dallas. So I think it's super important getting it out there on social media, you know. Like I mentioned, you know, even us putting the movie where it is accessible via Amazon Prime or Tubi or wherever people are so that they can get the knowledge. And I know it works. Mm-hmm. I actually had someone who found the documentary on Roku and messaged me, DM'd me, and said that, you know, they didn't know anything about prostate cancer. They just happened to do a search because her husband was diagnosed and my movie popped up. And she wanted to thank me because she had no idea of, you know, anything that she and her husband could do in regards to getting support, getting help, what to look out for, that kind of, they had no clue. And just typing in Roku, prostate cancer, and finding the movie really helped them know how to talk to their doctor. So I think as much as we can do to get the word out, to get this people at this event, so they not only can learn more about prostate cancer, how to advocate for themselves, but also get tested. I love that there's going to be on-site testing. That is a total game changer. And that you're not just getting your PSA checked, but then you can also know that if it comes back elevated, you will have the support you need. Like, most places don't do this, right? It's a financial burden for to take on that type of responsibility. But I thank you so much, Pastor Atkins, because the fact that you were willing to help facilitate this is a true blessing to the community, because it is rare. I've been all around the United States doing screenings, and I can tell you this is rare. So getting the word out is super important. There is no reason why the house should not be packed, because having this type of access to this type of support doesn't happen often. And so that just is a testament to UT Southwestern and the work that Pastor Atkins is willing to do for the community.
You know, I want to paint some more pictures on this event because it's going to be outstanding. We're talking about February 1st at the Light of the World Church. It's going to be kind of like a festival. It's going to be kind of like a Black Men's Health Festival, because you got all kinds of activities, but it's all for the same cause. And I think it's also important that, you know, all the different organizations are getting involved, including the Divine Nine, the fraternities and sororities, the HBCUs, the churches, all the any kind of community group. They're all getting involved because it is the right cause and it is the right thing. So, Reverend Atkins, again, when they approached you, how were you able to find the day? And by the way, how long will this go on? All day? Just give us some of the hours as well. And can people come and go? I'm trying to paint some pictures so everybody can know they have the access to it.
Yes, we're going to start at 9 o'clock. We're going to have breakfast. You know, food always
goes. Oh boy, starting out with some breakfast. There you go.
Here come the line. Some food. That's it. We're going to have lunch for you as well. So the event is from 9 to 2. And we realize that some may have other conflicts, but this is so important. If you got to come and just get your screen and experience some of the events, if you can't stay for the whole thing, you're free to come and go. But this is going to be an opportunity where we're going to dedicate these hours to come together and focus on men's health. So we're going to have the screenings. We're going to have the man cave where we can have those one-on-one men conversations to say, hey, when I'm going through treatment, what do I expect? You know, is my body going to change? What does that look like? To have those candid conversations. Conversation for the women in our lives to say, hey, what are some of the things that they're going to be dealing with? As a wife, what are some of the things that I should be expecting and looking for? So it's going to be those conversations. It's going to be an opportunity for us to come together and eat together and have those table conversations about how important this is. We can build those relationships with brothers. Hey, Brother Longdale, you went through it. I'm going through it. What does it look like? Do I have to be as scared as I think I am? So it's just going to be a fraternity. It's going to be a community coming together. And that's why we said, if we're going to do this thing, we're not just going to do it from just like just some big corporate event. No, we're going to have a boots on the ground event, and we're going to pull everybody around the same table, because we can put a big dent. And how many of our brothers are needlessly dying because of this very treatable illness? And so it's just going to be a great festival event to come together where we can just be a part of the broader community and really change the trajectory of a lot of men's lives.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's going to be super successful. And if it's super successful, there will be many more to follow, right?
Yes, yes. Hey, today is prostate cancer. Next week can be colon cancer. Mm-hmm. We have, as a coalition, we don't believe in reinvent the wheel. All you have to do is put the right partners in the room. And I'm a preacher, so I'm good at ideas.
There you go.
But again, we can change the world with a great idea, but we got to have people around us to bring the resources. And so when the idea was first cast to the coalition, the thing is, we got to have a healthcare partner.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to have a partner that's going to be serious and not just about the testing, but about the follow-up as well. Because we don't want somebody to get a letter in the mail saying you have an elevated PSA and don't know what to do. Now, if we say we your brothers, we're going to walk you through this whole process. And that's why this event is so important. That's why the social media campaign has been very focused on meeting people where they are, is write that phone that they carry with them 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
Meet people where they are and change their lives.
Dale, your life is being saved as we speak. And I wonder, you know, out of curiosity, once you found it, how did it hit you? When you found out that, because you were already taking care of yourself, you're always going checking with the doctors and whatnot. When they told you that you had it, what was your initial reaction? And then can you talk about the different people you wound up meeting that either beat it also or had people in their family that had it? In other words, it kind of opened your eyes to a whole different world of community on the prostate cancer. Let's defeat prostate cancer side. Can you tell us that story?
Yes, sir. Well, you know, when my urologist told me that I had prostate cancer, I had done a lot of reading and I knew some of the questions to ask him as a follow-up. I also had discussed this with my friends who had been through prostate cancer. You've already mentioned that fraternity conventions and line brothers and homeboys.
Mm-hmm.
We've had the conversations and I've discussed with them their outcomes. And so I was well aware of what was before me. Even in the gym, I would visit with people who I heard had been through prostate cancer. So there's a lot out there. People who just don't like to talk about it. But I really appreciate those guys that came forward and said, hey, Dale, you don't have to be afraid of this. Now, admittedly, the first few days I was a mess. Part of my gym activity is I do yoga and I couldn't balance.
Oh,
because
my.
I was thinking about,
yeah.
I'm distracted. I didn't know where I would be this time next year.
Yeah.
But pretty soon that went away. And with prayer, Reverend Atkins, and support from my family and friends and the people at UT Southwestern Medical Center, I'm doing pretty good. And I look forward to a successful journey through this.
I mean, it is what it is. You got to come to grips with it. But more importantly, you're like, guess what? I can beat this. It's not a death sentence. It's only that way if you ignore it. And we were talking about how guys, like I said, they were so reluctant to just get a physical or just get a checkup or even go to the dentist. Just anything. Well, we're fine. What we always say, I'm good. I'm good. that's the phrase all guys like to say. How you doing? I'm good. How's your family? We good. I mean, it's just, that's the way guys are. And meanwhile, women and ladies are just completely opposite. Lonnie, can you talk again about how women want to take care of themselves all the time? They're always making sure that they're feeling healthy.
Well, I think I totally agree. Yes, that this is true. But I also think that we're raised that way. We're conditioned, you know, both men and women. Men are conditioned to man up, right?
Yep.
Suck it up. Don't cry. If you skin your knee, that's all right. Get up. Don't worry about it. Is it broken? If it ain't broken, then don't worry about it. And so now we're talking about fighting against the conditioning. And we're also talking about, again, prostate cancer is not a sexy subject. Nobody wants to talk about it. Men don't want to talk about the potential of having ED or any complication that could come from a prostate cancer surgery. So they immediately shut down when any of those things are brought up, a digital rectal exam, possibilities of erectile dysfunction. Nobody wants to have them conversations.
Mm-hmm.
They have tuned you out now. And so that's why the educational part is so important, because once, you know, men start hearing, okay, you can now, you know, we're mostly doing blood tests now.
Right.
Not
There's different ways, not
right.
just a digital test.
Yes, it's not the digital rectal exam isn't something that's being administered as much anymore. So getting that education around it is so important because then you realize, oh wait, I'm making a big deal about this. And that's kind of what we focus on in the film is letting the guys tell their side of it, right? And them explaining, you know, I made this whole big deal about it and it really wasn't anything. And now I know where I stand. At least I have a PSA test now and I have a baseline for my health. And I understand, you know, what I should be looking for. And so that's what makes it important. It's really hard because, you know, we just have not been conditioned to, at least men have not been conditioned to put their health first. They've been conditioned to man up and fight through the pain. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Just keep going. And so we've got to change that stigma and have honest conversations about these things, specifically in the African American community, that, you know, men are getting prostate cancer at younger ages, African
Yes, under
American
the age
men.
of 50 now.
Yes, and more aggressive forms of disease. And so they have to know this information and be able to advocate for themselves because that's the other part. We're also dealing with, you know, the PSA test is something that, you know, some general practitioners are told don't give it until they're 50 or plus, right? But for an African American man or a man who has a family history or even a veteran, they are at risk of getting it at a younger age. And so if you know your family history, or if you know that you are potential at being at risk for having prostate cancer, then you can't let your general practitioner not give you a PSA test. And my brother actually ran into this problem where he had a new doctor. He told his doctor, look, I know I have a family history of prostate cancer. My dad has it, and my uncle, right, also have prostate cancer. And I want to get, he didn't know to ask for a PSA. He's just like, I think I need the digital rectal exam. That's all he knew, right? And the doctor was like, oh, you don't need a PSA or any of that until you're 50. And my brother was like, wait, I know I'm at risk. I'm African American. I got two family members. Are you sure? And he was like, no, you don't need it. So my brother steps outside the office and calls me. And he was like, this doctor is saying I don't need this, but I'm just concerned. And of course, I go off. No, you need it. You go back in there and you tell him you need a PSA test. Do not leave that office without getting that lab work done. And the doctor heard my brother talking to me on the phone and came out and asked him, who are you talking to? And he was like, well, my sister is a filmmaker and she works in the prostate cancer space. And so she's saying I should get the PSA test. And I can hear the doctor talking. He was like, well, I mean, if you want it, I'll give it to you, but it really isn't necessary. And I'm like, no. No, you
Oh
need a
my goodness.
baseline. You need to know where you stand, like what your base number is, right? So a PSA above 4 is considered elevated, but some men do run a little higher. So that way, next year, if you get a PSA and it's elevated, now we know we need to be watching this if every time you go to the doctor, it's getting higher, right? So I lost it. And so the doctor was like, okay, we'll give you those labs. Go ahead and get the paperwork. And so I told him, you need a new doctor. And I'm telling this story because this happens too, where, okay, now I'm gonna go get my physical and I think I'm good. And doc says I don't need it. So guess what? I don't need it.
Yeah, I'm
And
off
it's
the hook. I don't have to do anything. I'm out of here.
right. But then if you go back, you know, next year for your physical, now it's, oh, I'm so sorry, sir. Right. And so it's not hurting anybody but you if you don't advocate for yourself. It's just like, you know, when my son was a kid and he was mad at a teacher and maybe he didn't do his homework. And I would tell him, you not doing your homework hurts you, not the teacher. So I don't understand this concept of I'm mad at you, so I'm not going to do it. And it's kind of the same thing. You have to advocate for yourself because they can say you don't need it, but then later down the line, because you didn't get this test, so you knew at least what your numbers were, now they're saying, sir, I'm so sorry, you have prostate cancer, right? So getting a baseline is so important. And I think that one of the biggest things I want to push is just advocating for yourself. Specifically in the African American community, we know that there is health disparities. So the more you can advocate for yourself, the more you will have a better quality of life.
It's just that simple, but it's like you said, it's difficult because there's all these little things, these tendencies, these traits, these histories of the way guys act. And I'm just trying to, like, I gave the comp of breast cancer awareness, but I'm also thinking, you know, since the pandemic, mental health awareness has gotten a lot of sympathy and play, and people understand it now. It's not like, oh, we can't talk about it no more. We don't want to talk about, you know, I don't feel right or whatever. I think prostate cancer awareness needs to be in that same realm. I think it should not be something that people are uncomfortable talking about. And I think it should go into the category of men's health awareness. And that's why I think it's just perfect timing and awareness opportunity for this particular event. This particular event we're talking about on this show is happening February 1st. It is going to be at the Light of the World Church. It's the Brother to Brother Black Men's Health, a day of love and life. And we're inviting men and women. We're talking about men, mothers, sisters, daughters, wives, friends, anyone and everyone who wants to know more and wants to help lives. And that life you might save could possibly be your own.
We're expecting to hit that 300 mark, those 300 men coming together and supporting. You're spot on. You are absolutely right.
And Reverend Atkins, Lonnie, and Dale, I think we're getting the message out to everyone. Thank you for being on the show. And thank you all for joining us on Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold. So long, everybody.